Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of April 1st, 2016. I can't believe we're not doing an April Fool's episode. I am Chris Randazzo and I am your host. With me tonight are Green Overalls, Dean DeFalco.
They're Meridian. Viridian. They're Meridian Viridian. They're right in the middle.
And wow. Unnecessarily dour tone, Dan Ryan.
I'm never dour. I have never.
You're sour
in
and
my
dour.
Life. Been neither sour nor dour.
Well, we have all survived the latest entry in the DC Cinematic Murderverse, and we're live again here on the Geekade Twitch channel to prove it. Will Dan sacrifice his life for no discernible reason at the end of this show? Find out now. This is the Stone Age Gamer. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to episode 93 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, where everyone's mother is named Martha. With Batman v Superman.
the whole episode, you're going to be doing it, aren't you? Just digging on the fucking movie. Shit.
If I can make it work, I will. I don't get out of the house very often to see a movie, and with Batman v Superman V-ing all over audiences' faces, we decided to talk about some of our favorite and least favorite versus games, because things are always better when one thing is V-ing another. Then, if we have time, we'll hit up some interesting news stories, and we'll go out to bed, because we're all old and tired. But before all of that, we just want to remind you that you can email your hopes and dreams and favorite salsa recipes to us at mail@geekade.com. And then you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello because you like us and we like you too. And we always want to hear from you, the listener. And if you're tuning in to us on our live broadcast here on the Geekade Twitch channel, you can ask us right questions right now and we'll answer them just as soon as there's a break in the conversation, because that's what we're here to do, man. And with that, back to business. So like I said, we're going to talk about versus games because we've all seen Batman v Superman and we've all lived through the experience. And, this isn't a comic book podcast, so we're not going to turn this into the Batman v Superman hate cast. Recording
That's tomorrow.
Recording tomorrow on the Paper Cuts podcast.
I won't even be there to fucking defend it. God damn it.
You know what? You're better off. You will realize throughout the course of the day how much you hate the movie. We're going to use that as a very flimsy excuse to start talking about some of our favorite versus games. So, Dan, you had tantalized me earlier with a suggestion that Tiff made. I'm very curious, what is it? What is a versus game that you like?
This, to me, I think, see, my wife is truly a wonderful, wonderful person. And she suggested something so simple that it's fucking brilliant. And that would be Pac-Man versus Pong. And just a three-player game where two people are playing Pong and one person is an asshole trying to eat the fucking ball the whole time.
So this is what we're doing? We're coming up with suggestions.
That's what Tiff did.
Okay. Well, that's...
I like it.
That's
How much fun would that be?
That would be fantastic. Like, all right, so... Are you you're controlling the paddles?
Two people would be controlling the paddles.
All right.
One person would control Pac-Man.
And what are they hitting back and forth?
A regular Pong
Wait,
ball.
Wait, so Pac-Man Just can win because. The game when he eats the ball, but the other people win the game when they score?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
a race. It's a race.
It's a race to 21.
Wherever the ball goes, it also like eats the power pellets, right? So the ball, when it's just going to travel right over the maze, and everything that it hits along the way, it's going to like make disappear. And the race is to see like who can get the highest score. Obviously, Pac-Man has direct control, so he can eat all the pellets. But then the people with the Pong things, they have like the advantage of swooshing right over things. I don't know. That could be really fun.
There you go. I like it.
It's a race to 21 or to spell horse first and...
Whatever other nonsense you can make
with up. With a hole in one.
Score.
Yeah, I like it.
I love it. Good job. Well, let's see. If I'm going to make one up, give me a second.
I got one if
Dean,
you want me to
Dean,
go.
You got one? Go yeah. for it. Make one up.
Dig Dug versus Worms. I'm pretty sure Dig Dug would lose.
You know, that no, that would be another one of those like asymmetrical multiplayer games, right? So one person's yeah. Dig Dug and yeah. the worms don't know where he is.
Yeah.
And he just like digs up underneath the worms.
Oh god,
and
that's
blows
fucking vicious. Wait, does he get his own turn? So like the worms are fighting up top and then all of a sudden Dig Dug's just fucking sneaking up like Jaws? Oh god. Oh, I'm terrified now. This game's gone out of control.
But Dig Dug's got to be careful because, like, you know, if a worm misses and, like, blows up a crater, it could cave in on Dig Dug and then he'd die.
Oh, man. I like that.
Oh, man. This is brilliant.
Sounds like a good time.
DS said Dig Dug can't defend against the sheep. You're right, he can't. How would he defend against the exploding sheep?
There is no defense against against the sheep.
You pray. You pray. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's mine. Chris, what do you got now?
Jeez.
You have something yet, Chris? Because I have like, what my dream versus game would be, and it's never going to happen.
Go for it.
Never. It would have to be Marvel versus DC developed by Capcom. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's
nah.
the fucking game I want.
You gotta...
More than any game I've ever wanted in my whole life. Yeah. I want that more than I want No Man's Sky.
I tell you what.
And I want No Man's Sky a
that,
lot.
That'd
a
be
lot.
That'd be pretty hyped. That game would be
I
pretty
mean,
hyped.
You can kind of do it with Mugen.
Yeah, but it's not legit.
But it's not,
yeah, that's the thing.
It's not polished yeah. enough. There's some nonsense that goes on there that while I love it dearly for the ridiculousness of having a team of Homer Simpson and Fred Flintstone taking on
Popeye.
Marge and Wilma, you know, like the absurdity that is there is fabulous. But a fucking for real Marvel versus Capcom or Marvel versus DC
developed by Capcom in the Versus engine
developed by Capcom because Mortal Kombat versus DC. No. The novelty of it was fun for like an hour.
Yeah, like
you're like, oh look, I'm Green Lantern and I'm Superman and I'm doing some shit. No, look at the Joker's fatality and I'm spent. I'm out.
Yeah. No, that was more it. Of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not care for that game. Okay. I think I got one.
Hello to Doomlover 14. Thank you.
Hello, Doomlover 14.
Thank you for joining us.
Indeed. All right, so here we go. Space Invaders versus Qbert. So you got a game of Space Invaders going on, and Qbert mm-hmm. has the ability to. Qbert is jumping on all the Space Invaders
oh, so
to change them all different
no
colors.
Blocks. Okay, he's
there's
just...
no blocks. He's jumping from Space Invader to Space Invader while dodging gunfire. And if he changes all the Space Invaders to like the different colors, then he wins. But if you know, obviously, if they blow up all the Space Invaders before he can change all the colors, then he loses. But the trick is that, you know, the person that's blowing up the Space Invaders, there's fewer and fewer things for Qbert to change. So, like, the stakes are really high.
Could you imagine Qbert, like, in the Wreck-It Ralph universe after doing that for 20 years? He'd have that 10-mile stare just smoking on a big-ass cigarette. Oh, God. Oh, God, the bullets.
Poor Qbert.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because he was already, like, pretty curmudgeonly, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was already a... Love Qbert. The when they did that that PlayStation remake of Qbert,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was excellent because it played like a dream. But like the intro sequence where Qbert's girlfriend or whatever gets kidnapped, and then it zooms in on his face and his one eye starts twitching. It's like yes, Qbert is one damaged individual, whatever the hell he is.
Oh,
I always wanted a Qbert.
Dan, you got anything else?
Oh, as far as like made up versus
yeah.
games. Yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, it's all silly stuff, like the, you know, the pie in the sky fantasies. Like, I would love to see Samurai Showdown versus Soul Calibur. Like, I want that game.
3D or 2D?
You know what I mean? 2D. No, 3D. Fuck it. 3D. I don't know. I
want 2.5D. I want that isometric view.
I want isometric. That's what I want. I want isometric.
It's gonna look like Sonic 3D Blast.
RPG. Yeah, that's what I want.
God.
Yeah, like I suggested this topic earlier and then realized I didn't have any good answers for it.
I mean, I just came up with a list of all the versus games I could think of, but I mean, like, I don't really have a lot to say about them.
Frogger vs. Battleship, DSS.
Frogger. Fucking why?
That's madness.
That makes sense.
I'm just imagining them launching frogs at one another.
Thank you for following us, the Unlimited One. Much appreciated. Is Frogger like a hero and he's jumping on the battleships, or are the battleships firing frogs? Oh, there's just so many questions. So
I love
many.
It.
Hopefully, a little of both.
I love everything about it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Actually, on a pie in the sky sort of note, I'd like to see Sonic All Stars versus Mario Kart. I think that'd be kind of legit.
That would be kind of legit. I would pay money for that.
Right? Like, to be honest, Sega hasn't done a lot of things right, but the one thing they did right was that racing game. That was a really fucking good game.
Yeah, those games were pretty good.
Really good.
Yeah, you know what, though? I wouldn't just have it be versus Mario Kart. I would want it to be, like, Nintendo All-Stars versus Sega All-Stars.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd like that. Yeah, that'd make more sense. Like, something like a Smash Brothers cast with just a more all-encompassing sort of feel rather than just the Mario characters.
The Unlimited One, that's Lugo! Lugo!
Thank you.
Welcome.
I got Warhammer versus Warcraft, which that's a pretty big cast too. That covers many things. I mean, Warhammer's just a gigantic universe in itself. Going up against Warcraft with all its lore, that'd be something.
I like it.
I like a lot of things. Wait, no, I have wait, no, but
I have wait, no. Looking forward to seeing where that's going.
StarCraft.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I was wondering. I was like, all right, StarCraft's going to be in here. I'm trying to think of what would be ridiculous with StarCraft.
Warhammer 40K. Or you could just have Warhammer, and then obviously StarCraft's going to win because it's spaceships versus, like, orcs with clubs. Just getting slaughtered. Wouldn't be much of a game.
No, it really wouldn't, but,
So how about Street Fighter versus Punch-Out?
Oh, God, that'd be so fucking cool. It's just Balrog beating on Super Macho Man.
I would be all about it. That sounds
awesome. But would it be Punch-Out or would it be Street Fighter playstyle?
See, now therein lies the question. Like, I can imagine.
They're both great, and they both could work.
They are, but the Punch-Out characters, with the exception of, like, Dragon Chan, don't do a lot of jumping.
Right, okay.
So, like, I'm imagining a scenario where, like, Little Mac has to take on Ryu or something from a Punch-Out perspective. I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
Okay, all right.
Dodging fireballs and shit. I'm in. That sounds fucking
good. Dr. Mario versus any zombie game. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, I want to see more. Oh, new Doom versus Halo. I would just love to see that, to see the Doom guy blast apart, like, the entire
Master
Halo
Chief.
Universe.
Yeah, because let's get something real. Like, when it comes to, like, Halo, those guys are cream puffs compared to what that guy in Doom goes through. That's fucking bananas, that poor guy.
Or better yet, it's just, like, the Halo universe, and then hell opens up, and now Master Chief has to deal with the cast of Doom.
He's just put down his gun. I'm done. Fuck it.
It's like, whoa.
I didn't
Not
sign
what
up
I
for
signed
this.
Up for.
Fucking them out.
I'd see Gears being. I'd see Marcus Fenix being like, all right, and like chainsawing apart zombies and shit. Can't see the Master Chief doing that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, jeez.
This was a fun topic. This turned into something a little bit more than I thought it would.
Yeah. Let's see. I kind of want to.
What about, I was going to say, we went through the ridiculous ones, but what about, like, actual versus games? Because they do exist.
They do exist, and, like, some of them are insanely ridiculous, like the, stuff like Project X Zone, which is just, like, and here's a crazy RPG-type thing with Capcom, Sega, and Namco together, and it's like.
Because why not?
Yeah, exactly, because why not?
Why not? Because I played that game. Didn't make a lick of sense. And,
hey, it made enough sense to get a sequel.
I don't know how that happened. I don't know who the fuck is buying that game, because it sure as shit wasn't me. I
well, look, my obvious one, like the obvious one that has been haunting me since forever is I would want an actual, some sort of action platformer type game that's, you know, Mario and Sonic. Not the freaking Olympics games. Like, I want something that somehow...
Really? The Olympics wasn't good enough for you, Chris?
Look.
Mario and Sonic
at the Olympics? There will always be something endlessly entertaining about Dr. Robotnik playing shuffleboard, but...
Mario trying to earn medals for Italy and Sonic trying to earn medals for some fucking made-up place?
Mobius. I'm loving this Gran Turismo versus Forza. Gran Turismo.
Yeah, Forza-rismo.
Forza
Rismo. Forza Rismo. The perfect racing game.
The perfect racing game.
Oh, yeah, Gran it would just
Turismo
be too real.
Cross Mario Kart. I love it. It's just Gran Turismo with Mario Kart weapons.
I like it. I
see,
buy
now
a lot of that.
That is a fucking great
Actually,
idea.
No, that's Blur.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of, yeah, that's right, Blur. They did that. Damn, they already did that.
Yeah, tell you what, that wasn't a bad game either.
And there was there's Mercedes cars in Mario Kart 8, so
that was
too.
Weird, too. Like, that was, how much did Mercedes pay for that, and why did they think that was a great idea?
I don't know. Well, another one that was rumored for a while that I would be, I don't know, I just don't know. There's a lot of talk about a Metroid Star Fox crossover.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I just don't know how that would work aesthetically, but it sure is interesting. Like, I don't know, putting the Star Fox characters in a competent on-foot type situation and then putting Samus in a competent flight simulator situation. That could be pretty awesome.
I'd pay money for that. I'd give them dollars. I don't know about thousands of dollars, but I'd give them dollars.
Oh, I'll tell you what I would give thousands of dollars for.
What would it be?
A proper Captain N game.
You're reaching for the stars, sir.
So, like, I'm talking about a game that legit combines Kid Icarus, Castlevania, Mega Man, and, you know, just whatever the hell else. But, like, the gameplay styles of all them mixed up together, wrapped up in a Captain N motif, modernize that shit. Oh, now that would be awesome.
As long as it is green from Queen's Mega Man, I'm in. if it's not that, I'm out. It's not happening. And dumb as fuck, Simon Belmont.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's got to be or a world in which they meet their actual game counterparts.
Oh.
So, like, Lords of Shadow, Simon Belmont meets Vanity Smurf, Simon Belmont.
Vanity Smurf, wow. It's a fucking deep cut there, sir.
It's a pretty apt description, I would say.
Vanity Smurf, all right. I mean, why not? You know, that's cool. That's cool. Do you guys have any other ones? Arya said Wipeout versus F-Zero.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Pretty much anything that would get me a new F-Zero game would make me happy.
Yes. I read an article about that when someone was just reflecting on the fond times of even the newest one that came out for the GameCube, which is going to be, I think, 15 years old soon. Ridiculous. Yeah.
I was just playing that the other day, and not only does it have the single most 90s soundtrack in the history of 90s soundtracks, like, they were definitely listening to some... Astro Creep 9000, but
wow,
that game still looks incredible. It's just insane. That game is so good and so difficult. Oh goodness, I just had one. Oh, another one that's been kind of haunting my dreams for a long time that I would love to see. This is similar to what you said about the Marvel DC one. I would love to see a Nintendo versus Capcom in the Capcom versus engine. I'd really like to see how they would handle Nintendo characters in that kind of a situation.
That would be so cool.
I'd like to see that.
I mean, like, you know, we've got a handful of Capcom characters in Smash Brothers now, but just putting characters like Mario and Link and Samus and even some of the weirder ones in a situation to fight up against all of the and get crazy like they did with Tatsunoko versus Capcom with the Capcom characters. Like, really go for the deep cuts, make it ridiculous, but having those kinds of characters in that kind of motif, like, not only could you make it a seriously awesome fighting game, but just thinking of characters like Kirby that are shaped so much differently than your traditional fighting game characters. Like,
he's a blob.
Exactly. He's like a little yellow blob, so he would be almost fighting like Surfbot, you know, from MVC2. Like, there's so much potential for that to be, like, incredible. Like, freaking Evo-worthy good if they put the effort into it. Oh, man. And just imagine the art style.
That's a bold statement, sir.
Evo-worthy. That's big stuff.
I mean, look, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, watching that at Evo is, like, the most boring thing in the world for me. Because it's just like, okay, now this guy got one hit on, and now we're going to watch him do a combo for the next 5 minutes. Like, I will watch any standard Street Fighter against that any day of the week. Like,
Street Fighter is way more technical, in my opinion. It's way more fun to watch. I just watched the NorCal stuff, and my God, some of the plays, man, made my heart stop.
Yeah, I love watching proper Street Fighter go, and I want to love watching the Marvel vs. Capcom, because I did used to like watching the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 matches, but it's like it just turned into this ridiculous combo fest. It doesn't hold the luster for me. But if you treat that formula smartly, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I just saw Minesweeper versus Chess. Oh my God, that would be so much fun.
That's pretty bananas.
He's like playing chess and it explodes from time to time. Oh, DS6101, thank you very much for that. And also, the Unlimited One best game versus game was all the Super Robot Wars games. You are not wrong. The Super Robot Wars games are freaking cool. But yeah, Nintendo versus Capcom, good Lord, I want that to happen. And if we're in fantasy dreamland where everything's made out of marshmallows and fun, I would want it to be hand-drawn.
Hell yeah, like, man. No, definitely. Definitely. That would add
Don't get me wrong.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
MVC3 looks real nice, but holy crap, man. Imagine Street Fighter 3 is still one of the most gorgeous games I've ever seen in my life. And just imagining what they would do to Marvel versus Cap, like the Capcom obscure characters like friggin' Captain Commando and Tronbon drawn like Street Fighter 3 style, and then applying that style to the Nintendo characters. Ugh.
I like it.
I'm dying. I'm salivating.
Well, I mean, the last time a King of Fighters game came out, which I think they're on 14 now, it looks really fucking pretty, and that has that hand-drawn look to it. And it looks so good when it's on screen and all the animation, excuse me, is going. Oh, man, it gives me a little bit of a chub-chub.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, this modern Street Fighter stuff, it all looks very
great.
Good.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be a spot in my heart for traditional sprite work. And, like, when I think about games that have had just amazing sprite work, like Street Fighter 3 or Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and just, I want more of that in my life.
Oh, me too, man. Me too. I miss that stuff. There's not enough of it anymore. It's like sort of a dying art, almost, it feels like. And I just checked. It wasn't King of Fighters 14 that had that. It was 13. 14
went 3D,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, and that is a major bummer. I had 13 for the 360, which I thought that's why it was the latest one. But it's not. And now I am so sad.
There will always be more. There will always be new King of Fighters games.
Yeah, yeah. Do a lot of people play that? Is that like a big game, King of Fighters, that just has its own following?
Certainly.
The SNK games definitely have their own following.
It's just one of those things I never keep up on, because I was never a King of Fighters guy. I mean, I could barely say I'm a Street Fighter guy, but I'm definitely more Street Fighter than King of Fighters.
So, I don't know, Ice Climber versus Tomb Raider?
Yeah, totally.
That makes sense.
Let's fucking do it, man. Right now, let's get Nintendo on the phone, get fucking Miyamoto, tell him, listen, we got the idea for you, and we want 75%, nay, 80% of profits. 80% out the gate. Out the gate.
Watch Nana and Popo climbing up a mountain and then getting brutally murdered in a Tomb Raider death scene style.
No. Well, only one of them can get murdered, and the other one has to soldier on the rest of the game.
Has to watch, and you get to see their tears like trailing behind.
Wait. The best part is At the end of the game, Nana learns how to dual hammer wield, though.
Out of vengeance. I love it.
Oh, God.
Tetris versus Street Fighter.
Puzzle Fighter?
Yeah, Puzzle Fighter.
Ah, yeah, there you go. Puzzle Fighter.
It's actually a thing.
Oh, God.
Well, you know what? I said this. I actually made a mock-up of this game a long time ago, and I'd still like to see it. Pokemon SmackDown.
I was going to say,
Pokemon versus WWE.
I am very, very upset that we have not had a Madden versus Capcom reference yet, Chris.
Yeah, oh, that was my favorite. I used to make these fake games at my old Funko Land, and I would like cut pieces out of instruction manuals and glue them together to make fake boxes and put them on the shelves. And Madden versus Capcom was one of my favorites. Because it wasn't the NFL players versus the Capcom fighters. It was John Madden versus Capcom. Just... You could pick John Madden on, you know, the character select screen was just Madden, and then the other side was all the different Capcom characters. And
wait, was his gorgeous. Support character Brett Favre?
His support character was a turkey.
Was fucking Pat Summerall. The ghost of Pat Summerall came in and just actually made sense of what the fuck you were doing.
He'd use weapons from Ace Hardware and spray with some tough actin tenactin.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
John Madden is an asshole. I just realized. I didn't... Fuck, man. I didn't put all that together. But, God damn it. Fuck that guy.
Oh, Jesus. Nobody wants to.
Ouch. I didn't go that far, Chris. Jeez. Better.
I would and I did. My apologies to John Madden. Big fan of the show.
Big fan of the show. John... You know you're listening.
Dude, he's like 6,000 now. Like,
no, I thought he was dead.
I don't want
Pat Summerall is definitely dead. I don't know if John Madden is
dead. Now you're just assuming things.
Well, I'm assuming because it doesn't matter. Like, in my life, like, the scope of my day.
Just John Madden's on a very low scale.
He is non-existent on shit I think about.
You sure? I mean, he cares about you a lot.
He does. He talks about you all the time.
Oh, my God. John Madden Ambulance versus Joe Montana Sports Talk Football.
What's John Madden Ambulance?
I don't know. Maybe just Ambulance got stuck in there. But John Madden versus Joe Montana Sports Talk Football. I'd watch.
Every now and again in Madden, especially once they introduced the big hit stick, because that was a thing, you would fucking truck somebody so hard, and just an ambulance would like, woo, and like come out. And they would like... You know, Eddie George has a broken neck. Career over. And you're like, oh, fuck. I got to restart my franchise now. Like, that's the only reason I was playing with the Titans is because of Eddie George. Certainly wasn't because of Steve McNair. Fuck him. It was all Eddie George. And now he's got a broken neck. I'm done.
You're getting really mad right now.
I'm picking the Steelers and Jerome Bettis. Bus all day, baby.
You're talking football, and I don't understand you right now.
Sorry.
All right, guys. With that, we're going to take ourselves a break. We're gonna do a quick commercial for some other content on Geekade.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things that have showed up in the news. So stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, the Waveback Podcast takes a listen to some music from the Final Fantasy series for the first time by checking out some tracks from Final Fantasy X for PlayStation 2. There should have been more than one period in that sentence. The game was both a critical and a commercial success, the first in the series to warrant a direct game sequel. Does Nobuo Uematsu's score live up to the game's excellent reputation? Find out along with Chris and Vicky in Waveback Episode 21, Final Fantasy X. I said X earlier, didn't I? I'm an
No,
asshole.
You said 10. You did it.
Did I? Shit, you did. I am you not an 10. Asshole.
Mega Man
but,
10.
I mean, you are, but not for that reason.
Near you.
And... Uematsu-san, I apologize for butchering.
Yeah, you fucked up his name. He's not going to be happy.
Nobuo Uematsu, big fan of the show.
Huge fan of the show, man. He's on right now. He's just not signed in. It's Final Fantasy Shenron Omega 4.2. That's his screen name if anyone wants to know.
That's not obvious at all.
Oh, God. Next, there was an all-new episode of Ring the Bell this week, and it was chock full of laughs. Laughs at the expense of Hulk Hogan's court case win. Terry Bollea's junk, some departing talent, and what they think will all happen in the upcoming WrestleMania event. Head over to the Geekade YouTube channel and watch Ring the Bell WrestleMania predictions. It's what Hulk Hogan would do. Also, I made the clips for it, so fucking watch it. I worked hard.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I made the little in-between clips for it.
No, like, sure you did. Worked? That's weird.
Fuck you!
Then, Robot Nightmare plays a game with real robots! Yes, Alex and Ed are joined by newcomer Kyle to tackle the Super NES classic Mega Man X. New episodes premiere every Tuesday and Thursday until they manage to take down Sigma and achieve everlasting peace. There's also plush dolls and a bearded man on a couch. So this is literally everything you could possibly want out of a YouTube video. Head over to the Geekade YouTube page for Robot Nightmare Mega Man X.
Finally, gentlemen, the second season of Agent Carter has come to a close, and the future of the show is uncertain. Karen takes a look back at the show to explain why it should be renewed on the strength of its main character alone. Spoiler alert, it's not because of her outfits. Well, not just because of her outfits. Check out In Defense of Agent Carter, American Badass and Snappy Dresser. I put that last part in. Located in the think tank.
Chris Rock versus Agent Carter. Chris Rock. Kid Rock versus Agent Carter. Chris Rock versus Kid Rock versus Agent Carter. I like that one.
Chris Rock versus the Marvel Universe. I love it.
Chris Rock versus The Rock versus Kid
at
Rock.
At The Rock? Like...
At The Rock.
At The Rock. Like with fucking...
with Sean Connery?
Yeah, Nick Cage. Yeah,
absolutely,
in the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both foreign, sir, and domestic. Fuck, I love that movie.
You can catch all this great stuff. Well, not that great stuff, but all this great stuff. Plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. Alright, we are back. How's everyone feeling?
Mush.
Good answer. Good answer. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there. Got a bunch of mush in it.
Shut up.
So we're going to talk about a couple of things that have been popping up in the news lately. First things first, apparently there is a guy who has a sealed case of Stadium Events for the NES. That is six copies of pretty much the rarest NES game, the rarest actual released NES game in a box that's sealed. Tim Atwood did this post on Nintendo Age. Apparently he collects sealed shipping boxes of games, which, you know, to each their own. Live the dream. he's got shipping boxes apparently full of like some of the rarest games, like that Flintstones game's worth a whole bunch of money. Black Box Soccer, which is like one of the hardest Black Box NES games to find. He's got a sealed case of it just laying around.
Wait, so he's collecting this? Okay.
So, like, when you used to work at GameStop...
No, I get it, but, like, how does he even find that?
Well, I mean, I think that, like, obviously he got this... I believe the story is he got the Stadium Event stuff, like, back when it was recalled.
Okay.
It was like, you're recalling shit. I'm buying these.
Recall it to my garage.
Motherfucker.
That's what I'm talking about. So, I mean, so... There was a bit of a to-do about, like, I think the reason that this guy posted this stuff, because he's really a private collector, like, he doesn't show off his stuff very often, but there's been some dudes on eBay making some shady deals and whatnot, and, I mean, we met that guy at, what was it, Too Many Games? The one who was basically, essentially...
Fuck that guy.
The guy cornering that's responsible for, cornering the market on stuff. So, this guy was posting, I have a case... of the most expensive game that the market has been cornered on. So if you guys want to keep dicking around, you want to keep screwing collectors over like this, I'll put these things on eBay and I will destroy the value of your games. Because all of a sudden, now there's six more copies of this game in the world.
Wait, sealed. So he's saying that he will hold essentially the prices for ransom and sell them at dirt cheap?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it was just like a threat, being like, "You guys, stop it. You know, stop being dicks about this stuff. Let people get fair prices for things." Or because he has all the power. He's like, if he wanted to throw those games up on eBay, he would really screw up.
Six
like,
extra
he would mess
copies
with the market.
Is a lot. Yeah.
Six sealed, perfect factory copies of that game.
That would like annihilate everything.
Yeah, so like the
and
guy
good for
in
him
.
For making that threat, you know, like honestly, because we've spoken about it before, but like the people who drive up those collector prices, like, sure, make a couple extra bucks. I'm not saying don't make your money. Just don't be a fucking asshole about it.
Yeah, like it's don't be a dick. Like, what was it?
It breaks my heart because it happens with everything. Like, just absolutely everything you could possibly be into, people just fucking go nuts for it. And that's not what it should be about. It should be about sharing these things.
Yeah.
Not hoarding them. Like, oh, God, if you could see the beer trading scene, it is, it's so stupid. It's so stupid what people, first of all, what they do to get certain rare release beers, and then what they ask for in return. And it's the same kind of thing where you have people that go out and wait in line for 6 hours and drop all types of money on these like rare expensive beers, and they're never going to drink them. They're not buying them to ever drink them. They're buying them to trade for more shit they're not going to drink. Just like these guys buying video games to sell to buy more shit they're never going to play. It's fucking stupid.
And I'm like, I love this guy. Like, I'm all, I think what he's doing, like his collecting, is absurd. Like, I'm sure sealed cases of things live the dream, dude. Because he's not doing it to drive up market prices or anything. He's doing it because that makes him happy. And like, I'm not gonna say that I would mind having a box of sealed copies of the original Metroid or something in my house, but And, like, I guess you could also, you could see a certain perspective, like, well, there's more copies of this game out there that aren't available for other people to buy because this guy's sitting on a case of them. But, I mean, you know, it's this guy's prerogative to do that. And he's not doing it to dick anyone else over. He's doing it because they're interesting. You know, that's a fascinating thing there. I mean, I know there's been a lot of questions on like authenticating it or whatever, and apparently people have seen them in person, but it's a weird thing. It just struck me as such a strange story that like this dude's had this case of Stadium Events for NES for so many years, and thinking of like if he just trickled it out, how much money he could have made off of those games is insane, and he decided to hang on to his games instead of selling them because those games make him happier than whatever the money would come his way would make him.
But he's a good guy.
He is a good guy. So, Tim Atwood, if you are the guy that owns those things, I'm sorry I don't know enough of the most sincere details of the thing. There will be a link to the article I found on Reddit in the show notes if you want to delve any deeper into this. But
he's watching right
now.
To
the guy who has those boxes. Yeah, big fan of the show. And, well, we're big fans of you, so keep up the good work. All right, next story. This is, without a doubt, one of the most insane things I've ever seen. A guy recreated Flappy Bird in Super Mario World.
So he made it so that you have that P power maxed out all the time, and you're just flapping?
No, he actually made Flappy Bird. He made Super Mario World in a Super Nintendo without any modifications, cheating devices, or anything. Play Flappy Bird in Super Mario World.
He bent it to his will. I congratulations. That's all I could say.
This is so nuts. Did either of you guys watch this video?
I didn't get a chance to. Actually, I did watch a few seconds of it, and I was like, well, this guy's fucking nuts.
It's a series of exploits that let him get to a point where he could communicate directly with the Super NES console's spare memory, and then using like Mario moving around and doing spin jumps or whatever at certain points on the screen allowed him to enter lines of code to where he actually entered the code for the entire game of Flappy Bird, reused some assets from Super Mario World to save space and whatnot, and as soon as he hit execute, basically, because there was a command he could do with Mario to make it execute, it just turned into Flappy Bird. Same physics, the whole nine yards. It was literally Flappy Bird in a Super Nintendo. And how one even figures this out, like, watch this video. It is absolute insanity. And what's even crazier about it is, like, people have done this before, but with, like, robots, like, bots to doing all this kind of stuff or computer programs. To this guy's knowledge, he is the first actual human being to ever pull it off. And he did the whole thing live on a Twitch stream. And you can watch the whole process, which was a couple of hours long, I think, because it's entering in, like, 900-some-odd lines of code with spin jumps with Mario. I can't even wrap my head around how you would think about something like that.
Matt said, I heard somewhere the code entry was tool assisted, but another source said he inputted it manually.
Yeah, his YouTube video says that it was, she showed pictures of the Super NES and everything. It was the only tools that he used were two multi-taps and a couple of controllers that had buttons taped down. I guess for whatever reason he had, but no, his video claims that it was done on a Super Nintendo, which there's no tool assisting, not through an emulator or anything like that. It was a Mario World cartridge plugged into a Super NES and ta-da.
The logic is sound.
If that truly is the case, then, I mean, what the hell the heck of, now I've seen everything.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
that's tough.
A man on the moon, so
we did. Yeah. We put a man on the moon, and then we made a Super Nintendo play Flappy Bird against its will.
I could just imagine it crying like 32X, like, no,
why are you doing this to me?
Oh God!
But man, it's so cool to watch. It is so cool to watch the video of him, basically like the shortened version of him explaining it, is only like three and a half minutes long. And it's fascinating to watch all these weird tricks that you can do with this game. Repeating, he changed the timer so that it would play for like 3 days or 3 hours or something like that. And then he changed the coin counter to show like what pixels on the screen Mario was standing in. Like, how do you get from point A to point B there? How do you even think of this stuff?
I'm really not sure. I mean, this is something he had to be looking at, I guess, because the background of Flappy Bird looks like Mario. So it's like, maybe this could be done in Mario? And then he just went aboard dissecting it. I mean, he has to have some sort of programming experience. This isn't just something you're like, well, maybe I could figure this out and do it.
Yeah, clearly he has, you know, real knowledge of this. And also, it wasn't just him. He thanks very profusely the other people that were involved in, like, somebody made the Flappy Bird code in a language that would work or something like that. It's crazy. Yes, links allowed.
Well, the bot might stop, and I'm not sure. We have a bot that monitors this, but yeah, give it a shot.
I see. Give it a shot. And we're going to move on to the next story, which Dan suggested. And I'm going to actually defer to Dan on it a little bit, because I don't know a lot about it. Something called the PS4.5?
Yeah, so the rumors are that Sony is going to announce, possibly at E3 this year, a beefed up or specced up version of the PlayStation 4. And the main reason behind announcing this specced up version is because of PlayStation VR coming. It's the PlayStation 4 currently can output, I believe if I have it right, 4K video and 4K streaming video, but cannot output 4K gaming video.
Mm-hmm.
So with virtual reality coming, that is something that you would want to be able to do. So the thought here is that they are going to release this PlayStation 4.5, for lack of a better term, and it's not going to be an upgrade, like not just something that you, the fucking RAM pack that was for the 64.
Oh, the expansion pack?
That red thing, the expansion pack, yeah. Not like this, or not like that, just a brand new system.
So you're talking like would, this is a increment, kind of like, you know, DS to DSi or 3DS to new 3DS. Because it's not going to segment the market so much per se. Like, it's still a PlayStation 4. It's just like super sexy, beefy PlayStation 4.
Right. There will, like, the story that's going around is that Sony is telling developers that the PlayStation 4.5, any game that's developed, will have to be able to be run on both systems.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't have market segmentation, theoretically. Hmm. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't always work. I mean, as we've seen with the new 3DS, there are games that will only work on the new 3DS and will not work with the old 3DS because you need the little analog nubby-do to run it. And
I think there's about, I think there's exactly three games, I think.
Right. Well, because it would be ridiculous to do.
Exactly. You know, there's like 9 billion 3DSs out there and about 13 new 3DSs.
Right. You know, it would just be, it would be really silly on their part. But with the PlayStation 4.5, you could see how you would maybe want to develop a game that only ran in a certain resolution or whatever. So, I don't know. I think it's a little weird. But I only think it's weird because it's not something we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at the example that you brought up, Chris, the Nintendo, I mean, the Game Boy did it, the DS did it, now the 3DS has done it, at these incremental upgrades over time. And PC does it all the time. I mean, now you're making the incremental upgrades yourself, but you are always upgrading that tech. Home consoles are really the only thing where we're like, nope, I bought this shit 10 years ago, and I expect you to still fucking make things for it. Like, that's really the only place that exists.
Well, I mean, because they're trying to maximize their you know, return there. But
I think it's more akin to the mobile phone market. Because, you know, look at mobile phones. Like, look at friggin' iPhones. Like, they keep releasing those, and it doesn't make the old one obsolete. It just...
Right.
It's very iterative. And if I were a betting man, I would say that's the market that they're trying to turn into. That's the one that they're going to try to get, you know, whatever they can out of. Because keep doing iterative hardware like that, and, you know, there's definitely people with money out there that are going to throw those dollars at those things. I mean, hell, I'm one of those people. If I had the money, I would buy every iteration of consoles, especially if they look different, because I did that in the past. I have like 8 Atari 2600s that all are slightly different. You know, yeah, I have my Intellivision like, 1, my Intellivision 2, all 3 Sega Genesis models. Like, I love that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they're...
Well, and this one, this isn't... supposedly, and again, it's all, you know, hearsay and speculation at this point, but supposedly it is not going to look any different. It is going to be exactly the same shell as the PS4 currently is, just with some beefed up chips inside.
Oh, well, in that case, I fucking hate it.
In that case, it's the worst fucking idea I've ever heard.
Put it in a Jaguar shell, damn it.
I like it.
There That's you go. Plan. Those are going for good cheap. Plan. What I think is interesting about it is that the story came out today that Nintendo, when they announced the NX, are going to be announcing the most powerful console on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will that still be the case if the PlayStation 4.5 is a real thing? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
I think anyway, I love this kind of like this bitchy spec fighting that the companies get into. It makes me giggle every year because like if you make shitty games, doesn't matter how pretty they look, they're still shit. Killer Instinct still sucks. Doesn't matter how good it looks.
Well, I mean, that you know? What's interesting about that is would be, you know, Nintendo jumping in on the spec pissing contest, because they haven't been involved in that in a long time.
No, they certainly
like not
haven't.
Since GameCube. But, I mean, like GameCube, they were like, yeah, no, we can match PS2 and Xbox, except our discs will only be able to handle a fraction of the content because we're so anti-piracy. But you know, the GameCube, it
so
stood right next to those things.
It did. No, it certainly
like
did.
Power wise, yeah.
I mean, obviously, looked better. Resident Evil 4 looked and played better on
that's
on
very
GameCube
true
than it did on PS2.
But then Wii came out, and it was essentially the GameCube because they were like, "No, we're not done with this tech yet."
And we're good.
And then they just started stuffing their mattresses with cash.
Waggle
and it
hands,
was a good time.
Bitches.
Live the dream. And then they did the Wii U, which was like, well, you know, we could use Xbox 360 style tech for half the price. So let's do it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm excited about this kind of stuff. I think it's cool. You know, like I said, the tech pissing contest and all that. Where I have concerns, though, like where I get a little... about the whole thing is if we are really going down a road that is banking on VR and it doesn't pan out, like video gaming is in a really good place right now. Like, I mean, if we can step back and look at it, we're in a really good spot right now. There's a lot of really great content that's coming out for literally every genre of game you could possibly want. In any form you could possibly want it. You know, there's something for everybody right now. And God damn it, if VR fucking kills this industry, I'm going to be really upset because I love the Lawnmower Man. And as much as I want that to be our future, it's a reference that like four people got. But whatever. You know, like I have some concerns about that of like, well, we got to push out new hardware and we got to push out, you know, beefier specs because we have this thing coming.
Yeah, the VR does not excite me in the least. Like, I have absolutely zero interest in it. Just like I have absolutely zero interest in 3D. You know, but that was the thing. Mm-hmm. 3D was the gimmick that got 3DSs into people's hands, and nobody cares. It was all about how good the games are.
Right.
And... you know, 3D TVs, they did not take off. It was a dumb gimmick and everyone knew it. And nobody talks about it anymore. Now, 4K is the thing. Like, okay, that's neat, but that's not a game changer. That's just going to become the standard in a while. It's not...
right.
That's not a game changer. That is not something that is intrinsically different. And VR is an intrinsically different way to play games. VR is almost like comparing 2D games to 3D games. Like, it mm-hmm. is such a different kind of experience. So, I think there's a place for it. I think it's neat, but much like all the rumors that we talked about with the NX controller possibly not having buttons, like that kind of stuff is, I don't know if it's just because I'm an old curmudgeon and I like my buttons and I like my TV screens, but I'm not interested in that. Like, I'm the guy that has the Wii U as his primary console because I freaking love platformers, you know? Right. I want to play those kinds of games, and I want to play those kinds of games until I'm dead. And if I have to keep playing the old ones instead of new stuff, then so be it. I mean, I'll try a VR helmet when it becomes totally affordable and mainstream, but, you know, are a bunch of kids going to pop on their VR helmets and sit on a couch next to each other? Like, you know, some of my favorite multiplayer experiences go back to like playing Super Spike V-Ball on NES and from plugging their controllers into my NES 4 score and going to town, or, you know, sitting around playing Smash Brothers on the couch next to each other. Like, those are the kinds of experiences I love to have, or just like the glare in the living room of having the lights turned off and, you know, the TV is reflecting in the window or something like that. Like, these are experiences that don't exist with a VR helmet because VR is all-encompassing. And that's neat, too. Like, I love my Virtual Boy. I really do. It's not VR, per se, but it's that kind of sensory deprivation.
Yes, it is. You give that system all its credit, sir.
It is virtually something. But it's that same kind of sensory deprivation, where it's like, when you're playing Virtual Boy, that is what you're doing. There is... zero social aspect to that, with like at least local social aspect. Like, if the thing was online or something like that, sure, you can communicate with other people online, but, you know, if somebody else is sitting in the room next to you, it's you know, different animal entirely. So I don't know. I don't love where this kind of stuff is going. I don't love the idea of them trying to promote VR as the next thing, because I don't know. It scared me, and I don't like change.
Guys, I have a confession.
Anyway, I'll be.
I spent all our money and bought a VR helmet.
Nice.
I'm not gonna play video. Yeah, VR I'm not porn, play baby. Video games, so I'm just gonna watch a lot of porn.
You spent all our money. So what is it made out of? Like pipe cleaners and shit.
Yes, exactly.
I will be really excited for VR when the killer thing comes out. Like whatever the thing is, and you know, I think we talked about it before. Obviously we're not game designers. We don't know what that thing is yet, but there will eventually be a killer thing. And like, do you remember the thing Microsoft showed last year with the Minecraft?
Like, oh yeah, Minecraft on a table, yeah.
Virtual, like that was cool. That is approaching the thing. That's not the thing because it's still Minecraft, and not to slam on Minecraft, but that for me, that's not the thing yet.
Yeah.
But that sort of stuff is getting there. How feasible it is, really, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Good segue, Chris.
I'm damn good at that. I don't know. It's I guess we'll see VR. Ha ha ha.
I guess we'll see in 3D all around us, you know what
I'm
saying?
Damn, you're right though. You're right.
I probably should have saved that one, cuz the next two ones are just not really filled with lots of joy. So Miitomo launches I think tomorrow. As for when we're recording this, this episode goes out on April 1st, but tomorrow is when Miitomo launches. I'll be getting one because it says Nintendo on it and it doesn't cost any dollars. What about you guys?
Nope. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna make one, and then I'm never gonna open it again.
I could not give a flying fuck less.
What would make you give a flying fuck about it?
Puzzles and Dragons in it.
I was gonna say, like, if it had a puzzle and dragons.
Puzzles and Miitomo.
No, even, oh god, no. The Miis to me are like the dumbest part of, and it's an irrational dislike of the Playmobil style figures, but that's what they look like to me. I just don't like them. I think they're dumb. I think they're childish.
Thank you, Nintendo Dude and Jay, for following us. Go on, Dan. I'm sorry.
Thank you, boys or girls or
said dude,
people.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I. You know what I mean. Like, it's just not for me. The Miis. When I see that, I see something that reminds me that Nintendo is for kids. Mm-hmm. And you know, as an adult male in my 30s with, you know, a family. That's just not the shit I'm into anymore. You know, I'm still into shit from my own childhood, but I don't want to feel like a child while I am enjoying these things.
Hmm.
And, you know, like, I don't know. It's somewhat irrational, my dislike of the Miiverse and the way that those things look, but I just feel insulted by them.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean,
I definitely
don't agree.
A long way around of answering your question. I don't know that there's anything based on the nature of what the app is. It's like a Tamagotchi life or Tamagotchi type thing.
Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi, is that what it was?
Right, Jesus Christ.
You're talking about... But,
well, I was not a 12-year-old girl
ever. Put some fucking flair in your accent. Come on.
You're talking about Tamagotchi life?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that is what Miitomo is supposed to be, and that's just not my thing. Like, I don't know that there's anything that they could do that would make me give a shit.
I mean, I still don't necessarily even, like, they've explained it to me, but I still don't think that I understand the concept of it. Like, what is the point of this? What can this do that Facebook doesn't already do for me, that Twitter doesn't already do for me? So, I'm going to download the crap out of it tomorrow, and I'm going to see what it's all about, but... I mean, I don't mind Miis as long as they're used sparingly. Like, I don't like games that are worked around Miis. Like, I think Miis are a an interesting way to do social media without putting an actual photo of yourself involved or something like that. I think Miis can be fun in that aspect. But like, for example, Pilot Wings Resort for 3DS. I love that game. I just hate the fact that it's Mii characters in it, because I don't like playing games with those Mii characters.
You mean you don't like seeing your character with a shit-eating grin just fucking doing loops and stuff? Yeah, I don't think anyone likes those characters.
People definitely do, but I'm not one of them.
I don't like... Like, when they were in, God, what was it? Smash Brothers. It was...
Yeah, Mii Fighters.
Yeah, like... I like the idea of throwing costumes in on characters you don't want to spend a lot of time on, but I don't need to see my stupid Mii for the head. Like, they could have, yeah. You know, they could have made it like, what were those things? The Wireframe Fighters or something like that, mm-hmm. and done
some the fighting polygon
yeah,
team.
That would have been kind of cool to bring back, but instead they went with the Mii's.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that aspect of it. Like, I don't know of anyone except for, like, the hardest of hardcore amiibo collectors who bought the Mii Fighter 3-pack. Because why in the world you would want to do that is beyond me. Right. But, all right, so, yeah, nobody cares. All right, so let's end on the ultimate down note. Let's end on
Are
the end on the ultimate down note.
Are we ColecoVision again? Or the
no.
ColecoChameleon?
No,
I don't know.
We're
going
to talk about the fact
down.
That Konami still hates all of us. They're making a new Contra game, and it's for mobile phones.
Mm. I don't want to live on this earth anymore.
There are certain things that I just... I sit here as a fan, and I know other fans feel similarly to me, where I just don't understand. I feel like if you've ever seen The Birdcage... Robin Williams and Nathan Lane.
Yes.
Fucking hysterical movie.
It is.
Gene Hackman in that movie as the father of the bride of, his daughter is getting married to a young man who has two dads, Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. They're a gay couple. Nathan Lane is dressed up as a woman at the end of it. And when he comes out and says, like, you know, no, I'm a man, Gene Hackman, for like the rest of the movie, his only line is, I don't understand. And he just seems so charmingly befuddled by it. And I feel the same way here. Like, I am just befuddled by this kind of shit. How can you be a successful company and not know your audience even a smidge?
Wait, you're calling... Your first problem is calling Konami successful nowadays.
Konami is still a relevant publisher... That put
they
out
still
arguably
have more money than me.
Yeah, well,
that put out arguably the game of the year last year. They published it and made a gajillion dollars off of the Phantom Pain. They're still relevant and still successful.
They basically
probably
stabbed,
not for much
yeah,
longer.
Yeah, I was going to say like they.
But
I think they're making plenty of money with their pachinko machines and, you know, weird gyms or whatever.
Not
I think they are a perfectly successful company. And what kills me more than anything is if you watch that trailer. The game looks awesome, except for the little digital buttons that are sitting on the front of it, which would, in my opinion, probably make the thing damn near unplayable.
Can you map it to a Bluetooth controller? Not that I would want to, but I mean, I'm curious now.
Well, see,
I have no idea.
That raises an interesting question because the Apple TV has the ability to play games now on your television, and there aren't very many games that like. You know, as much as Dean loves Angry Birds, like, he still hasn't convinced me that I should be playing that shit on my television. As much as I love Puzzle and Dragons, I'm not playing that on my TV. Like, the interface, it's just not there. But this might be a reason. I love Contra so much, I might buy an Apple TV to play this shit on my television if I could map it to a third-party controller.
Like I said, I think that would make sense and... Maybe make Konami rethink their ideas if they did include that. I don't think they're smart enough, though. I think they're just like, fuck it. You play it this way or you don't play it, assholes. I don't think they care. I really don't think they care. Yeah.
I don't think they do either. I just this baffles me. There have been listings for a Contra 3DS since the 3DS came out. and it's never materialized. And now we're getting a new Contra game that's, you know, for mobile phones. And it's kind of heartbreaking because you think of the Castlevania. Like, I'm kind of a completionist with the Castlevania franchise, and there's an exclusive mobile phone Castlevania game from back when flip phones were a thing. And as far as I know, it's never been ported to anything. I don't even know if it was any good. But there's an actual Castlevania game out there that I cannot get my hands on because of the mobile phone market. And
was it
I don't even really know where I was going
with
that.
Was it for the Nokia N-Gage?
No, it was not for the...
damn it.
Was not for the Talkin' Taco. Side talking. But I don't know. This one just made me so mad because I'm looking at the video and it's got like a bunch of stuff from Contra 1 in it looking all fancy and 3D looking, and I'm thinking, boy, I would pay money. I would pay money to play that on my 3DS. But I can't because it's only available on mobile phones.
When's it out?
And with I don't know. I think it was just announced the other
day. Because the thing is, like, I have a jack to plug into my capture card to make my iPhone play on here. So I could always buy that game and fucking give you a live review of how shitty it is, probably.
Yeah. Please do.
One day. One day. But, okay, is that all the sadness you got for today, Chris? Do you want to just, like, run over my dog while you're at it, too?
I mean, I could, if that's really what you wanted.
No, I mean, that I'd rather you not.
Well, in that case, that's going to be our show. Thank you, Twitch audience, for joining us and joining in this fun conversation that's been going on the side panel there. We're getting used to this whole doing a live show thing, and it's an absolute blast. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all of our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I am @GeekadeChris, that's Geekade KRIS. Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
Dean is available at
I am @Kimono_Vestlord.
If you are interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post something new every single day. We'll see you guys again right here in 1 week. Thank you very much for listening. On behalf of myself, Dan, and Dean, keep playing games.
Dan Ryan.
I'm Dan Ryan.
We're all Dan Ryan. I'm recording now.
Okay.
Dan recording now?
I've been recording this whole time. Ah, it was a dirty trick.
Okay, so can I switch us over?
Switch over what?
Because right now I just have a like little video playing, and it just says beginning at 8:30.
But get us live.
Okay. I'm gonna just be quiet for a second because I have everything on mute, so I'm gonna kind of bring us in gradually, if that's possible.
Test.
Thank you, Chris. Well, that's fucked.
God, thank you, everybody, for joining us and listening. I keep seeing the numbers fluctuate, but I am certainly loving friendship. Friendship versus magic.
Wow, that's a. You know, if I could like give thumbs up on here, I would right now.
I would totally do that.
Wait.
Citizen Zoolander.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Citizen Kane remake with Owen Wilson.
Oh, God.
I don't think he could get fat enough.
Fuck Owen Wilson. He's been good in exactly one movie.
At geekade.com.
I'm sorry,
now,
Evan.
We have to pay money. I don't get... Dean,
yeah?
Pay money so that we can be the exclusive streaming home of The Rock.
I'll dive into our deep, deep war chest and pull out
into
some money
our
for
coffers.
That. Yeah.
It's got to be like $20. Like, there can't be... the demand for exclusive rights to streaming The Rock can't be that high. Dude, it's a fucking dope ass movie.
Sean Connery, Ed Harris, fucking Nick Cage, like they had a pretty good cast.
Ed Harris at his fucking scariest.
Yeah, he
like that could dude probably is... afford the Russian dub.
Whatever. That's fine.
Nah, I would say maybe the Kazakhstanian dub. I don't know if we could afford the Russian one. Gotta go slightly below Russia.
God damn it, I have to watch The Rock after the podcast is over now.